Hello, everyone, and welcome to the Going Viking podcast. I'm your host, Kevin McAllister. This was originally supposed to be the first official episode of this month. However, as you see, I have already released 3 episodes unexpectedly, but that's a good thing. Now I can finally tell you what I've been working on for your regular scheduled programming. The first topic on the agenda is the Vikings TV show on the History Channel. Today, what I'm going to talk about is I'm going to give you my top 10 moments of Season 5, or Season 5B as it's been called since they split up the season, so it was 10 episodes. And I will also provide some real historical insight of characters and events to show you how the show might differ from real history. At first, I was going to provide you with a complete breakdown of each episode, separated in 2 different shows, but I chose to do it this way to give you the meat of the season while it is still fresh in everyone's head since the season just now ended. Quick note, if everything goes according to plan, I plan on doing a weekly podcast to break down each episode for season 6 of Vikings that hopefully will probably come out around the fall. Since I just launched this podcast, I unfortunately missed the whole season for providing content. So for the final season, I am going to attack the opportunity. Since this is the first full episode, I will be explaining the new segments I have implemented that will be on the show going forward. After today, you can expect a more fluid show without having me conduct a quick breakdown on what you should be expecting. This episode will be filled with spoilers, so here's my warning now that if you have not watched this season and you don't want to know what happened, just go ahead and watch it and then come back once you've caught it all. Okay, last chance. Spoilers will be everywhere. Alright, let's begin, and I hope you enjoy today's episode. Each episode, I will start off with providing a historical quote or passage that correlates to our topic somehow. This way, I can throw in some history from the sagas or other sources to give you a variety of fiction and truth. This segment will be called Hugin and Munin Tales. If you don't know about Hugin and Munin, they are the 2 ravens in Norse mythology that fly around Midgard and bring information to Odin each day. You all boast of boundless bravery and daring. Now what you all need is great tenacity as well. I'll be hoisted above heroes, because I have no bones. Yet I'll have a hand in vengeance, whichever I make use of. Ivar the Boneless, from the Sagas of Ragnar Lodbrok, translated by Ben Wagoner. Alright, before we jump into the top 10 moments, let's just do a quick recap of where we left off last season. In Season 5A, we start off with seeing Bjorn Ironside follow his historical counterpart and explore the Mediterranean. Bjorn and Halfdan are seen in northern Africa and experience new challenges during this journey. We also see Floki reaching Iceland, and then he comes back to Kattegat after reaching the land of the gods and convinces people to sail with him to create a new settlement. Bishop Haman is introduced this season to match up with Ivar the Boneless. Ivar commands the great heathen army and takes over York, while Lagatha rules as queen in Kattegat. The first part of the season all boils down to episode 10, Moments of Vision. We were presented with a beautifully crafted episode that had brother kill brother, friend kill friend, during the Civil War of the Ragnarssons for the Kingdom of Kattegat. This war resulted in a victory for Ivar and Harald, forcing Bjorn, Uba, Lagatha, Torvi, and Bishop Haman to flee Kattegat. As the episode ended, we got a sneak peek at Old Man Rollo coming into town. Let's begin. Top 10. Number 10. Iceland's Revenge. From the first part of Season 5 until now, we have watched the settlement that Floki created in Iceland constantly struggle. Floki considered this the land of the gods, and he wanted to create a peaceful and thriving settlement with no more violence to change their ways of living. But this didn't last long, because violence still occurred, food was scarce, and the settlement was failing. The storyline seemed to drag on a bit too long, but it did finally reach an endpoint when Kettle Flatnose took revenge on Ivan's family and murdered every single one of them in brutal fashion. Due to this treachery from Kettle lying to Floki about trying to save the expelled family, he plans the opportunity for revenge instead. This led to Floki giving up on people and the settlement, and Odd jumping off the side of the cliff and killing herself. Which brings me to my first historical tidbit. Odd, or Un, the Deep-Minded, was a representation of a strong and powerful woman in Viking Age society. After King Harald Finnhair gained power in Norway, Kettle and his family fled to Scotland, and was married off to the King of Dublin, Olaf the White. I'll explain a little bit more about him later. And had a son together, Thorstein. Thorstein grew up raiding, conquering parts of northern Scotland, where he received his nickname Thorstein the Red. Unfortunately, Aud lost her son, husband, and father, Ketil, within only a couple years, leaving her the head of her family and while looking after several grandchildren. So she had a boat built secretly in the forest and set sail with her kinsmen and slaves to the Orkney Islands and Faroe to marry off her granddaughters. Once this was done, she set sail again with her 20 members and arrived in Iceland, where her brothers were located, one of them named Helgi. And in the show, he is not her brother, but Eivind's son. Back to the history. Once she was in Iceland, she claimed her own land, and after building it up, she even granted land to her followers and freed slaves from Scotland. So, unfortunately, we didn't get to see the story play out in Vikings and witness such an incredible woman, but I guess that's the difference between a drama and a documentary. Number 9. Rollo. We finally get to see Rollo again, but this time with Francia soldiers. He can be seen older now, with gray in his beard, a shortness of breath, and a slight limp from his battles over the years. After greeting Ivar, Fitzurk, and Harald, he continues to make himself comfortable and explains his reasoning for allying with Ivar during the Battle of the Ragnarssons. After being the Duke of Normandy for years now, he rules a lot of land and wants Kattegat to be used as a trading station for himself. After Rollo finds out that Lagatha and Bjorn are still alive by conversing with Ivar, he grabs one soldier and sneaks out at night to go find them. He knows exactly where to go because he fled from Kattegat back in Season 2, if you remember, from Yar Borg to this exact spot. Rollo and Lagatha sit down together and discuss the real reason why he is there. Rollo offers safe passage to Bjorn and Lagatha to Francia to live a prosperous life. However, his ambitions come from the revelation of stating, "Bjorn is my son." So here, I believe the writer of the show, Michael Hurst, he wrote this scene for the fans who have been theorizing this since Season 1. And now it is time for the audience to decide what the truth is. I always love when writers deliver these open-ended answers for us to make our own assumptions. Anyway, Bjorn is in denial of this once Rollo confronts him about it. Bjorn resembles and acts like Ragnar more, and he declares that Ragnar is indeed his father, and not Rollo, who has forsaken them time and time again. And for the record, I am on Team Ragnar. Bjorn gets enraged by this and threatens to kill Rollo so he can die a happy man. As he runs up to Rollo with an axe in hand, he shoves him down to the ground, puts a blade at his neck. At the end, he chooses not to kill him, saying, "You're not worth the time it takes to clean the blood off my axe." After this confrontation, Rollo leaves the outpost and looks back at Lagatha and says, "We will never meet again." Rollo reaches Kattegat once more and begins negotiations with Ivar that favors him plentiful, with resources, food, and warriors. Knowing Ivar wants Lagatha dead more than anything, he gives Ivar the location, which I believe Rollo knew they were going to be gone before Ivar got there. Other hideout, leaving Ivar with no leverage to bargain, and leaves for Francia a richer man. Personally, I believe this concludes Rollo's story in the Viking show. Unfortunately, it'll probably be the last time we see him on screen, but, you know, I could be wrong. Number 8. Bishop kills Bishop. Bishop Hedman is not happy about being replaced for another bishop. He decides to go to the church to confront Bishop Cathred, and during this confrontation he finds out about the conspiracy to overthrow King Alfred. A spy sent by the bishop continues to follow Hedman and Lagatha to witness his sinful acts with her. He reports back to Bishop Cathred, who pens a letter to Hedman that because of these accusations and eyewitness testimony, he cannot be part of the church since he is following pagan ways. This letter takes Hedman over the edge, and ends episode 12 with Hedman brutally killing the bishop in the church, right on the altar. Number 7. Ivar the God. The Viking show has always depicted Ragnar as a descendant of Odin, but this time his son Ivar takes it literally. Freydis convinces Ivar that he is indeed a god, because the sign of deformity just means that he is blessed by the gods. She continues to persuade him that she will bear him a child, even though that is impossible for Ivar, and proclaims he is a god to his brother Fitzurk. This begins his continuous lie of convincing himself he is a god by forcing people out of fear to bow to him. A statue is made for him that everyone can see. He proclaims to the people that he has been accepted into the Aesir and is a divine child on the way, which actually is not his, but just the child from a servant that Freydis used to continue this lie. Number 6. The Seer is dead. A continuation of Ivar believing he is a god has him driving an axe into the head of the Seer, killing the character that has been around since Season 1. The Seer states that he is simply the son of Ragnar Lothbrok, not confessing that he is a god. This drives Ivar mad, ending his life in the middle of the night, alone, and burying him unnoticed in the middle of the woods. Number 5. Lagatha's Breakdown. After her disappearance during the Battle of Alfred and Harold, after Bishop Haman's death, we finally see our Shield Maiden, again in episode 18. Judith finds Lagatha broken and lost in a cottage occupied by a witch. She gets brought back to King Alfred's estate. This is the most vulnerable we have ever seen Lagatha. But after years of tragedy, the death of Haman finally got her to snap. I mean, she lost a baby during labor, her husband cheated on her, she was getting abused and humiliated in another marriage, killed her almost husband on their wedding day, killed her pregnant best friend, Ragnar died, and then the countless deaths she witnessed during battle to put a cherry on top. So of course she would eventually crack. No one can experience that much tragedy and not go over the edge. So I appreciate this from a narrative standpoint. During this breakdown, we get to see an emotional scene through a hallucination she is having by experiencing Ragnar's death once again in the stink pit. However, this time it's through Lagatha's viewpoint, creating a very haunting scene. Viking fans, we've all discussed all year whether we would see Ragnar again this season, and we guess we got our answer. Number 4, Ragnar's Dream. Ever since Ragnar went a Viking in season 1, he dreamt of gaining new land for his people in England. And that dream finally got fulfilled this season with the help of his son Ubba. A treaty was signed between King Alfred and Ubba of the lands promised by King Egbert to Ragnar in East Anglia. This treaty is also known as the Danelaw in real history, or territory owned by the Danes in England. Instead of Ubba though, it was Guthrum who signed this treaty in the year 880. So Vikings pretty much switched the storylines here between Ubba and Guthrum, because Guthrum was the one to be baptized and converted to Christianity, just like Ubba did in the show. Number 3, Ubba. Number 3 is a continuation to the Danelaw moment because Ubba made all this happen. He was the highlight of this season in my opinion, and he delivered Ragnar's dream to their people. Not only did he convert to Christianity to keep the peace with King Alfred, as he admitted later that he still believes in the Norse gods, but he saved inevitable war that was going to occur between the Danes and Wessex. Ubba defeated King Frodo from Denmark in a brutal duel, or Heimgang, which is a way to settle disputes in Scandinavia, that almost killed him. This victory stopped the war and led 3,000 Danes to land in East Anglia to settle. Number 2, Floki finds God. Floki, the one who is the closest to the Norse gods, the one who hates Christians so much that he killed Athelstan, the man who claimed to have found the land of the gods, treks deep into a cave, or what he thinks is the mouth of hell, only to find a cross. Which in Icelandic history, it is said that Irish monks could have been on Iceland before the Norse, and that explains the carved cross he discovered. Right before he enters the cave, he tries to talk with the gods and says, "I will go deep under the ground where the dwarfs have their halls and find you. I am filled with hope." As he gets to the cross, the irony sinks in, and all he can do is give us that Floki giggle. He then screams in despair, and the cave crumbles on top of him, and that was the last we've seen of Floki in this season. So will we see him again in season 6? Maybe, but it's hard to imagine him getting out of that cave. Number 1. All hail King Bjorn. Son of Ragnar Lothbrok, Bjorn Ironside becomes king in the season finale after defeating Ivar the Boneless in Kattegat. With the help of Freydis, Bjorn, Harald, and their army finally get into the walls of Kattegat after being defeated the first time through a secret passageway Ivar built. More killing is done through these walls. However, Bjorn stops the fighting because he wants to save these people. This is his home. He shouts that he only wants Ivar and end this tyranny to set the people free. While fighting Ivar's remaining henchmen, Ivar sneaks out of Kattegat and disappears. After the battle is won though, Lagatha returns to Kattegat and gives her son the Sword of Kings, along with Ubba, who embraces his brother. As we see Bjorn lift up the sword to the sky, we get some sort of time lapse or flash forward. When the camera pans back down and zooms out, we now see a bloody sword and dead bodies laying all around him. So Michael Hirst, probably trying to show us something for the final season about Bjorn's reign and letting us interpret how this might play out. We then end the season with a shot-by-shot parallel of Bjorn holding the Sword of King sitting atop of cliff overlooking Kattegat, just like Ragnar did at the end of season 2. All hail King Bjorn. Well, that concludes my top 10 moments for this season of Vikings. This show contains a lot of dense material with multiple characters and storylines, which made this list really hard to narrow down to just 10 moments. When I initially wrote this list down, it was at least doubled. Now, if you had to narrow down your top 10 moments of the season, yours might look completely different than mine. Anyway, don't go anywhere yet. I have a couple of history tidbits to add that were touched upon during the season that I was able to expand with a little research of my own. In the first episode of this season, King Alfred ordered all monasteries to teach and offer prayers and lessons in English so everyone, including the common folk, could gain knowledge. This did actually happen in history, and here's a little more information on it. Alfred took it as most importance to preserve knowledge and study for the future of England. He considered his help of translations from Latin to English in 887 as, quote, books most necessary for all men to know, end quote. He believed that without the wisdom that could be obtained through study, the people in authority could not act just or as effectively. As he conducted these translations, he would only hope to better train future priests and nobles in his court. I will leave you with this passage from the translation of the Consolation of Philosophy by Boethius. Quote, I desired to live worthily as long as I lived, and to leave after my life to the men who should come after me, the memory of me in good works. End quote. Next tidbit. In episode 12, Ivar announces Freydis as his new wife and queen. King Harald assumes this is a tactic to secure his bloodline for his heir to inherit the throne. However, Margaret whispers to him that Ivar can't produce children because he is boneless. This is one of the few theories scholars believe Ivar received his name, the Boneless. However, probably the least plausible. Now, I can't really explain this any better myself, so what I'm going to do is I want to direct you to the Saga Thing podcast. Here you'll learn about Ivar the Boneless from his birth to different theories on how he received his nickname and his career as king. They provide a perfect explanation of Ivar the Boneless through academic resources, and I couldn't have tackled this any better. So I will provide a link for you in the show notes, or you can go to sagathingpodcast.wordpress.com. We also got introduced this season to King Olaf from Ivar as an alliance. However, that didn't work as planned. Now, King Olaf, or Olaf the White as he was called, did serve as a great alliance to Ivar the Boneless, and battled alongside him in Ireland in the 850s. Dublin, Ireland is stated to be the death place of Ivar the Boneless in 873 from osteogenesis, brittle bone disease, according to the Annals of Ulster. Well, I have one last segment to conclude today's episode for you. I am very proud of this one because it keeps the focus on what Going Viking has always been about, the community. At the end of each episode, I will announce a Viking of the Month. This will focus on one individual that has continued to raise the bar for our Viking community by producing great content, whether that is a podcast, blog, research, book, art, or anything else that helps to contribute. When we have people like this in our community, it only makes me seek out new ideas and try to produce even better content, not out of competition though, but out of respect and drive to always be better. Without further ado, here is the Viking of the Month. Going Viking is proud to announce the first ever Viking of the Month to Fjorn's Hall. Fjorn contributes to the Viking community through his blog and podcast, where he explores the medieval North through its sagas. He provides a professional and welcoming place to share your passion of history and Norse culture. Fjorn is a graduate student right now pursuing an MA in history and also works as a teacher assistant for a Viking studies class, where he has already given a lecture about Njal's saga. He is actually the one to create my Going Viking logo as well. He is a man of many talents, and he deserves to be recognized as one of the pillars in our Viking community. If you want to know more about Fjorn's Hall, you can check him out on his website, fjorns-hall.com, where you can find an abundance of information, including an Old Norse calendar, recommended readings from his own personal research, a post containing every primary source reference to Odin and other Norse gods, and so much more. You can also find him at Twitter at Fjorn_the_Skald, and that is also where you can find him on Instagram and Facebook at just Fjorn the Skald. Congratulations, Fjorn. Thank you for listening to the Going Viking podcast today. This was our first official episode of content, so I hope you enjoyed it. Depending on the events or news around the community, I may always drop a small, special episode, as I have already done between these larger episodes. I do hope you will jump in your longship once again next month in March and join me for a brand new episode. I know you hear this a lot, but being as this podcast just started, I would be grateful if you could leave me a 5-star review, especially on iTunes, as more people can find out about this podcast. If you have any questions, suggestions, or any feedback, please let me know at goingviking@outlook.com. You can also find me at my website, going-viking.com, Twitter at goingviking, Facebook at goingvikingcommunity, and Instagram at going_viking. I will end this episode today by saying, we are all sons of Ragnar Lothbrok. Skull!